November 22, 1963. The city is Dallas, Texas. The President of the United States, John Kennedy, is traveling through downtown in an open-top convertible accompanied by his wife, Jacqueline, and Secret Service agents. As he passes through Dealey Plaza around 12:30, shots are fired. Later that afternoon, this news report from Walter Cronkite would change the course of American history.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
A nation was devastated.
I'm Mara Brackett, and I worked in the John Kennedy administration in the West Wing of the White House.
Brackett lived in West Virginia for nearly 20 years.
I was in the White House when the assassination took place in Texas and got a call from one of our good friends who happened to work with AT&T. And he said to me, Mara, he said, what's this? The president has been shot. And I said, oh, my, cold shiver went through my body. And I said, I'll call you back. And I called Henry Hall Wilson, with whom I worked, who was down in the mess. And being a good lawyer, he said to me, Mara, where'd you get that? And then I could hear the mess just exploding. Everybody, up and up, everybody all of a sudden had discovered about the assassination. At that time, of course, we didn't know how bad it was. After the assassination, that afternoon, the new President Johnson arrived by helicopter, and we all were out there and greeted him. And much as our hearts were broken, you still had to move on.
My name is Robert Holroyd. I'm an attorney in Princeton, West Virginia. And in 1960, I was the local campaign manager for John F. Kennedy when he was running for nomination as President of the United States. I was in my office at that time. It was in another building up the street here. It came over the radio, and people started rushing in the office. And we were sitting there glued to the radio. Nobody had TVs in their offices back then. It was in 1963. People were gathering around, just trying to get every piece of information you could have. And for some time frame there, it was uncertain as to whether or not he was alive. And there was some question as to whether or not Jackie was injured and some other people. So everybody was just hanging on their seats to listen to that information. I remember exactly where I was and exactly what I was doing. Almost remember what I was wearing that day, because it was such an event that people who knew Kennedy and who were connected with him couldn't believe that this had actually happened.
I'm John Douglas. I live in Berkeley Springs, and at the time that this happened, I was probably in a classroom in Reisterstown, Maryland. It was a Friday afternoon, and I was in a Spanish class, and we were just going about, the Spanish lesson, when the principal came on the intercom system and told us that the president had been shot. A few minutes later, he came back on the intercom and told us that the president was dead. And so I think the class just sort of ended. We just sort of sat there and stared at each other.
Gaylene Miller, I'm the state director for AARP in West Virginia. I was 5 years old, and I remember how devastated my parents were. And I couldn't quite put together what was happening or why it was happening, but I knew it was a very sad time. And The other thing I remember is seeing LBJ sworn in on Air Force One. And my father said, this is a life lesson. Anybody can be replaced.
My name is Larry Gross. I'm the host of Mountain Stage. And on that day, I was in high school, Adamson High School in Oak Cliff section of Texas, which was about two or three blocks away from the house that Lee Harvey Oswald was living in. I did not skip school. Some of my friends skipped school to go downtown, and they went over to watch the motorcade and to watch Kennedy and Jackie Kennedy come through Dallas. But I remember seeing a friend of mine, and he came walking back into the building. I saw him as he was coming in. I said, hey, you know, how was it? And what he said was, they shot Kennedy. And I thought, you know, and I said, yeah, come on, man, you know. And they said, and they shot Conley too. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, they were shot. And I said, that no, that cannot be. I said, this is not funny, you know. He said, no, I'm not joking. And all of a sudden, the principal came on the loudspeaker and said, everybody go to your homeroom classes. I went to the homeroom class, and it was a history professor who was also a Baptist preacher. And we sat down, and the principal came on and said, there's a report from downtown that President Kennedy has been shot and Governor Conley has been shot. And we all, you know, we of course, we sat there stunned like everybody else in America. And then after it went off, I never forget this. Our history teacher was also the debate coach. And he had all these books, public affairs books of speeches. And he went over and he opened up and started reading a speech of John F. Kennedy to us.
The president's road to the White House in 1960 ran right through West Virginia. It was viewed by many political strategists as a major victory. A Northerner, an Irish Catholic, winning in West Virginia, a state with mostly Protestants. President Kennedy's story has resonated with thousands of Americans, including Kelly Masterson. He's the writer of the television film Killing Kennedy. It's an adaptation of the book written by Bill O'Reilly.
I know that West Virginia was particularly important to him, and it's where he made one of his most famous speeches, because he wanted to address the fact that he was Catholic, and no Catholic had ever been elected, although one had run prior to that. And he wanted to put the people at ease that he was going to observe a separation between church and state.
Masterson says Kennedy's pick of Lyndon Johnson as vice president also played a role in his support from southern states. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.